So let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 2. And let's go to verse 42. And we'll start there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. And here's what God's word says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, once again, it's a privilege for us to have this book in our hands here, Lord, where we can read about you, about your word, about things that have happened to the early church, and Father, to understand you a little bit better. So, Father, I just ask once again, as your representative here at Beech Grove, Lord, that I proclaim your word with boldness, Father, with truth. And Lord, may I hide behind the cross, and may not any of this message be of me, Lord, because I want you to increase. Father, I want your name to be glorified. So, Father, instruct us in your word here this morning, and I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What seems a little different here this morning, doesn't it? Having a message this early, we might actually get out of here on time today. I was once asked several years ago, if I could change anything about my life, what would I change? And it's something in the past, preferably something when I was younger. And I have to say this. It would have to be that I wish I would have played organized sports when I was younger. I did not play organized sports. I would play ball like out on the street, you know, with the neighborhood kids. Maybe play in the playground at school. But as far as joining a team, a real team, like a real football team or a real baseball team or even little league or midget league, I did not do any kind of organized sports. I knew the rules of the game, so I could certainly play the games if I would have had the desire to play. But I never know why I didn't play organized sports. I really wish I would have. So this morning I brought a prop with me. Brought a baseball bat. But I need someone to help me. Let's say, for instance, now again, at the tender age of 54, I am probably not going to be going out for any kind of softball or baseball team or anything like that. But since I never played those kinds of sports in an organized fashion, there's probably a good chance that I don't know how to stand correctly. I don't know how to hold the bat correctly because I was never trained in how to do that. So, but I'm sure if I was to be a batter in a real game, it would be to my advantage to know the basics of how to hold this bat, correct? Because if I don't know how to hold this bat and I don't know how to stand, I'm not going to be able to hit the ball very well. So, who in here could come up and show me real quick what's the best way to stand? What's the best way to hold this bat? So they could show me the basics. Who in here is a baseball fan that can do that? I need a volunteer to come up and show me a few things. I need to know the basics. Let's pretend. Now, you notice we're not doing bowling. Because we won't tell anybody what happened Friday night. Okay. Okay. All right. Andrew, let's pretend like I want to go on out for a softball team. Okay. They really need one more player, and I'm the only guy left. Okay. So the first thing I need to do is here. You take the bat. People are getting... Move over a little bit. Okay. Okay, let's kind of face the crowd. Let's pretend like the pitcher's out there. Okay, now how should you stand? First of all, let's talk about the stance. Okay, all right. Let's pretend like, let's put a book down. Okay, this is home plate right there. Okay, so where are you standing? Do you stand? Okay, left foot kind of in the front of the plate. Okay, all right. And why is that? Is there a reason for that, or is that just what? Okay, all right. How far apart do you spread your legs there?
About shoulder length.
Okay, about shoulder length. Okay, kind of give you some balance, I guess. Okay, all right. So now you're standing correctly. Okay, and now where do you put your hands on the bat? Okay. Okay, and together. So you, they're not like this.
Yeah.
They have to be together. Okay. Now, I remember somebody telling me something about choking up on the bat. What's all that about, you know?
Then you can swing the bat harder. Say you have two strikes and you're just trying to make contact. It's just to get the bat on the ball instead.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, there's got to be more to it. There's got to be more to the basics now. Okay. So now I know how to stand. Now I know how to put my hands on the bat. Now, is there a certain posture or whatever? Okay. That looked pretty good, didn't it? I think Andrew has a career in baseball here coming up. Now, if I was just to go on up, okay, let me have the bat for a second. Okay, move aside, Andrew. Now, since I don't know the basics like you know the basics, you know, I'd probably just get on up there and put my hands anywhere because I feel like I can swing it better. And this isn't going to be very good, is it? I'm doing a lot of things wrong. Okay. But I'm going to show the congregation that you have taught me some of the basics. I'm going to kind of put my front foot there to about shoulder width, so about like this. Put my hands together like that. Kind of bend over a little bit like that. Is that good? Do I got it down?
Yeah, and just get your bat back.
Like that?
Well, no, tilt it back like that. Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Do I got it now?
Yeah.
Okay. I only got one thing going against me right now. I'm 54, okay? I actually have to swing this thing, right? So... Okay. I think Andrew did a pretty good job. What do you think? All right. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, pick up home plate. For sure, if I was going to ever go out for any kind of sport, it would be important that I would know the basics of that sport. And now I feel a little more comfortable that Andrew has taught me how to stand, how to hold the bat, and things like that, so I know the basics of playing baseball. Unfortunately, like I said, that probably will never come about because Gail really doesn't want me out there on the field. Yeah, she likes me alive and well and not in the hospital. Well, this morning we're going to talk about if we're going to do baseball right, we need to know the basics. If we're going to do Christianity right, we need to know the basics. And this morning in the epistle, or actually the book of Acts that we read here this morning, we read about five basic acts that were done by the early church, and they were mentioned there. And what we're going to do here this morning, real briefly, is go over each five of those. And then this is actually part of a sermon series that I'm going to have over the next 5 weeks. Each week we'll take one of those and talk about it at length. But today we're just going to talk about it very briefly and talk about the five basics. And to me, just like in baseball, if you don't know the basics, you'll probably fail. If you don't know the basics in Christianity, you're not going to be an effective Christian. You're not going to be an effective witness. So it's up to us to know what the basics are. So let's look at all five of those as we're outlined here in the book of Acts. And then we will go through each one and see how they apply to us. The first one is this. In Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That's the first one that we're going to talk about here this morning. Fellowship. Well, the question would probably be, why do we need fellowship? Well, if we want to be effective Christians, we want to have fellowship, and it looks like fellowship is one of the basics. And again, you might ask, well, Mike, well, why do you consider these five things the basics of Christianity? And it's not so much how to get saved, it's how we apply ourselves as witnesses. I have to look at verse 47. At the end of that verse, the very last sentence says this, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." I have to be convinced that when you do the basics correctly, the Lord is going to add to our numbers. And after all, isn't that what we want to do? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that our witness is either going to be very positive or it could be negative. And what we're going to do today is, let's talk about those basics, let's get those down, let's do those right, and hopefully the Lord will add to our numbers daily those who are being saved. So the first one is fellowship. Fellowship is one of the basics. So let's go to our bulletins because there's a fill in the blank there. Why do we need fellowship? Well, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 10 to kind of answer that question. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 25 here real quickly, and then we'll be able to fill in the blank. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Our fill in the blank, and what word are we going to put in here? We need fellowship so we can encourage one another. So we can encourage one another. And again, each one of these five, I'm not going to be spending a whole lot of time on them, but in verse 25 it says, "Let us not give up meeting together." Why? So let us encourage one another. So when we meet together as Christians, we have the opportunity to encourage one another. So, since today's service is going to be a little bit different than your everyday service, here's what I want us to do. For about the next 3 minutes, you are going to get up out of your seat, and you're going to talk with somebody else, and we are going to encourage one another, okay? If there's somebody here that you don't know, you might want to welcome them to the church or whatever. But fellowship means saying something encouraging to one another. So, Beach Grove, we're going to get up this morning, get up out of your seats, find somebody else, and let's say to them a word of encouragement. Well, that was refreshing, wasn't it? I hope you heard an encouraging comment from somebody else as you were out mingling with everybody. And that's what fellowship is all about. We'll talk about that. That will probably be next week's message, fellowship. And maybe I won't have to preach that. Maybe I'll just say, go. And we all just do something. Okay, let's go on to the next one, teaching. teaching. When somebody teaches, hopefully somebody else is going to learn. So why is it important to learn more about God's Word on a continuous basis? Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'll say it till the day that I die. God's Word transforms lives. When we read this book and when we learn more about God, our lives are going to get transformed. Now, it says here in the book of Acts, where do we pick that up? Well, in our scripture reading for the day, it was the very first one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay? So, now I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs for our fill in the blanks in the bulletin to see what we can gain from learning about God's Word. And we could actually, we need more than three blanks to fill in there. There's probably hundreds we could fill in there. But I'm going to start with Proverbs 8:33, and then Proverbs 13:13, and then Proverbs 13:14. And I'll read those, and then we'll fill in our blanks. Proverbs 8:33 says this: "Listen to my instruction and be wise, and do not ignore it." The first part of our fill in the blank will be this. When we learn more, there are great promises. When we learn more about God's Word, we will be wise, okay? And now let's look at Proverbs 13:13 for the next one. Proverbs 13:13 says this: "He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded." Our second fill in the blank there on that line is we will be wise, we will be rewarded. And then let's look at Proverbs 13:14 for the last one. And it says this: "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." So that whole fill in the blank, that whole line says this: what happens when we learn about God's Word, when somebody teaches, and there you are learning? We will be wise, we will be rewarded, and we will be turned from the snares of death. And needless to say, I encourage everybody to learn more about God's Word. Again, I got to say this again. God's Word transforms lives. And if you notice in your bulletin down the right-hand column on the inside, I always have daily Bible reading for the week, and I certainly encourage you to do that. So we've covered two of them so far. We've covered fellowship, we've covered teaching, and again, I'm not going to get into depth very much on any of these, because I'm going to take a whole Sunday to elaborate on each one of them. So the next one that we'll go to prayer. We're going to go to prayer, and for that, we're going to sing a hymn. Phil, could I ask you to come on up and play? We're going to sing a hymn, and I believe our hymn for this part of the service is number 110. Is that what it says in the bulletin? A sweet hour of prayer? Okay, why don't we do this? Let's stand to talk about what God says about praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very, very familiar set of verses, verses 16, 17, and 18, and then we'll be able to fill in our blank in our bulletin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 starts off and it says this: "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So the fill in the blank would be this, and the word we want to put in there is this: we are told to pray continually, continuously, or at all times. We're told to pray all the time. Could you imagine the difference the church of God could make if Christians prayed continuously? And I know that's difficult because we all have jobs and other lives to lead, but praying continuously, boy, that'd be a great thing for us to do. So we're at that time in the service where we have the pastoral prayer time. Usually we do this more towards the beginning of the service, but today we're going to do it now, and it's something we've been doing here at Beech Grove, at least since I have been here, where I call people forward if they want to come on up. If there's a special prayer request, and we're gonna turn those requests over to God, and I believe we have seen him work in this church in the past, and we're going to continue to watch him work. But one of the ways of doing that is through prayer. So, who needs prayer this morning, either for yourself, a loved one, a friend? Come on up, and we're going to pray, and we're going to turn those situations over to the Lord here this morning, and we're going to just knock on his door and ask him to do something for us. Okay, Linda? Okay. Brad, come on up. Tamora, come on up. You can come up with us, honey. Yeah, you're welcome. No. All right, Pete, she's going to join us here this morning. Martha? Okay. Come on in here, Martha. We got this. Okay. All right, big group here today. Okay. Linda.
First of all, I'll ask everyone's prayer for Kristen. And we know, Lord, that the Lord knows her conditions. The doctors are mystified. And she's at the lowest level of status she can be at right now. But we've heard powerful testimony in that waiting room from other Christians who've seen healings in that hospital. And we know that God is at work, and whatever his will is to be, we'll accept that will. And we've asked Mike to come and anoint her. We pray that you pray for Mike, too. We'll lift up Mary Washesky, who will start her chemo and radiation soon, and my niece's father-in-law, who only has just a few more weeks to live, Gary Oliva, who's been on our bulletin. And we pray for Jeff and Della. We probably wore the Lord out this week, but we know that he's got lots of angels, too, helping out there. And Kristen's aware that the Lord's with her, and the angels are in her room with her.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what we'll do. Frank?
Praise and same concerns as Linda.
Okay. All right. Greg?
These are very same things.
Okay. All right. All right. Cindy? For Linda? Okay. All right. Pete? Okay. Ooh, okay. And his first name? Daryl. Okay. All right. All right. Martha? Okay. Okay. All right. And your daughter, that would be Helen, correct? Okay. All right, Brad, what do you got?
My sister, Missy, and my nieces, they're planning to drive down from Connecticut Friday. That's when crazy happens.
Okay, wonderful. And Linda?
My sister-in-law, Sue Longhorn, she had, they said it wasn't a heart attack, but they're just going to be doing some tests on her this week. And she's had some bumps in the past, anyway, so definitely remember her prayer.
Okay, all right. I hope I can remember all this. I might need to ask you again, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we circle up here today, Father, and this circle is not going to be broken, Lord. We come to you before your throne, and we are asking, Lord, we're asking for your healing power. We're asking for your mercy. We're asking for traveling mercies. We're asking for salvation experiences, Father. We're probably selfish people, but Father, we come to you because we know that you are the God who can provide. You are the Jehovah God, Lord, who provided for the Israelites in the desert and provides salvation experiences for people. And Father, we come to you, the creator of all things. Father, we lift up Kristen Benevich to you. And Father, as she's over in that hospital bed in UVA, Father, we're just asking for a miracle of all miracles, Lord, where you will just resurrect that physical body, Lord, and just bring her to the place of complete healing, Lord. And she will be a testimony to all the people around that she meets that to say that she was on the doorstep of death, Lord, but you have brought her into a complete recovery. Father, that is our prayer. We know that your will is going to be done, Father, and we're just asking that you just work in her life. Father, for Mary Wachowski, did I say that correct, Linda? We lift up her to you, Lord, physically, Lord, that you can do a work in her life. Father, we lift up Jeff and Della Armentrout to you, Father, for the salvation experiences in their life, Lord, And Father, we just know it's just one prayer away that for a person to invite Jesus Christ into their life. So Father, we just ask that you work in their lives. May they both see that beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one thing that they are lacking, even though they might have many, many other things, Lord, is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Father, we're just asking for a salvation experience there. Father, for Pete's brother Daryl, Father, we don't know exactly what happened to his eye, Lord, but we're just asking that, Lord, that you can direct him to the right eye doctor or whatever medication, the right eye drops, whatever it might be, Lord, that that his eye can make a full recovery, Lord, from the damage that's been done through it. And Father, we just trust that you will send him in the right direction, Father, even if it's just your healing hand being upon him, Lord. We just lift Darrow up to you. And Father, for Helen and her husband and their two children and their readjustment that they got to make in Northern Virginia, Father, we're just asking that you give them peace and comfort as they make that adjustment to their new surroundings, their new work, the new jobs, Father, the new friends that they might have in their neighborhood. Father, for a new way of living, a different style of living, Lord, in the Northern Virginia area. We just ask that they adjust, Father, and let them know that as they go through this adjustment that they're going to lean on you for all things. Father, for Brad's family who is traveling down from Connecticut, Father, we just ask for travel and mercies, and Father, we just ask for a great reunion as Brad meets up with his family. And Father, may it be a time of celebration where they can all celebrate together. And Father, and may this faith that Brad has, Father, may be contagious to the rest of his family, Lord, that they will be able to see Jesus in him as they come in for this visit. Not only get them here safely, Lord, but get them back home again safely also, Lord. Father, for Linda, who's your friend again? Sue?
Sue Lawhorn.
For Sue Lawhorn that is battling cancer, Lord, we just ask that we lift her up to you, Lord. Father, there's many miracles around the circle that we're asking for. And Father, cancer is nothing for you, Lord. Father, you can just speak and she could be healed. And Father, or just like the woman in the gospel, Lord, just wanted to touch the hem of your cloak and she would be healed. Father, we just want to reach out to you for Sue Lawhorn, Lord, here this morning. And we're just asking, Lord, that you just put a healing into her body, give her the comfort that she needs to get through this time as she goes through the chemo and all the treatments. But, Father, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that for all these requests and the many more that have been unspoken here this morning, Father, that you can do all things, and all things can be done through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, we just turn these situations over to you. They're not impossible. Father, we just turn them over, and we want to watch you work. We want to see miracles happen in the lives of the friends and family here at Beech Grove. And we turn this all over to you, and we ask it all in the precious name of your Son. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Ooh. Isn't it great to watch God work? I'll tell you, watching Him work. Okay, so we've covered fellowship, we've covered teaching, and now we have covered prayer. And the next one that we're going to go into is giving. And let's see in the book of Acts there where we can pick that up. Book of Acts, chapter 2. And it says here, if we get down into verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Why is it important to give? You know, sometimes the Bible is a paradox, and a paradox is something that kind of doesn't make sense, but it's actually true. Sometimes we have to give to receive. And here in this example in God's Word, people were giving financially, and we do that here at Beech Grove, but there's also other ways to give. And when we get into the Sunday about giving, we'll get more into depth on how we can give. But to back up this scripture here, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and see what God's Word has to say about giving so we can fill in the blank in our bulletin. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, a very, very familiar verse, and we're going to start and just read two little verses, verses 6 and 7, and then we'll be able to fill in our blanks in our bulletin. And God's Word says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So our fill in the blank says this: we are told to sow generously so we can reap generously. Now, what do we reap? Well, there's a lot of different things that we could reap. And again, I'm not going to get into that today. When we get into our Sunday, when we talk about giving, we will get into that. But I will say this. One of the things, when I go to the board meetings, one of the things I am so, so happy that this church does is that this church financially is a giving church. We sit in on those board meetings, and there are names of people in the community that are brought up, and money is distributed to those people. And I think that is really God's work, God's hand at work in the people of Beech Grove. And if there's anything I love to see, it's when a church like this can give what we're about to give here in a second. We give those finances away to people who are in need. I'll tell you, that is a great representation of what God wants us to do. So at this time, I don't know who the ushers are for this morning, but what we're going to do now is we're going to take up our tithes and offerings through the offering. So whoever our ushers are here this morning, would you please come forward and we will do that? Thank you. While we're working our way through this, we have covered four of them, and now we're going to get to the last and final one, and I'll get back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and let's see which one we missed here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We talked about that one. To the fellowship, we've covered that one. To the breaking of bread, that is the last one that we need to do here. We've talked about prayer. We've talked a little bit about giving. Again, these are all the basics that the early church was doing. And again, the reason I need to bring up basics, we got to get back to verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I believe that it is so important for us to do the basics right. So what we're going to do before we have our Lord's Supper here, we're going to sing hymn number 391, and we will stand at the last verse.